RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia Ulama Council, MUI, hope the momentum of Hijri New Year can be the unifier of the nation. UNESCO encourages all member states to ease people for information access. Now the news in details. Chairman of the Fatwa Commissions of Indonesia Ulama Council MUI of East Java Province, Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Nafis, said the new year of Hijrah in 2017 is the momentum of unity of all people in Indonesia. Abdurrahman Nafis, in an interview with Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, said it was reflected by the move of Prophet Muhammad to Medina to look for more peaceful condition. The move of the Prophet Muhammad to Medina to build civilization with unity. So if we want to build civilization in Indonesia, building for progress, we must have a commitment together to hold on to Pancasila, and we make Pancasila as the starting point to move forward together. September 21st, 2017 became the beginning of the first Muharram 1439 Hijriah calendar. The calendar of Hijri was set when the incident of the move of Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina in 622 AD. The move, which was conducted by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in line between the physical and soul. Director of UNESCO Indonesia Shahbaz Khan, after diplomatic forum held by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, said the international world keeps facing challenges in progressing and developing quality of life for poor people. He said that UNESCO has campaigned easiness of various access for all people, so with an advanced digital technology, they can get positive impact for their life.
Challenge for poor people always, you know, is access to anything, access to quality of life, access to food, access to whatever we are doing, access to schools, and access to knowledge and information is one of the biggest challenges as well, because it's very expensive to access information. So that's where, with the digital era, what UNESCO with its 195 member states is promoting is we should give free open access to education materials and to special literature from around the world, which is unbiased, which promotes quality of education, which brings people with disabilities, because people with disabilities, they need to have access there as well.
Meanwhile, Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia, His Excellency Peter MacArthur, said poor people becomes one of big challenges for all countries in the world to give easy access of life so they can develop to get better life from various aspects such as education, school, food, and so on. Corporate Secretary of PT Pindad, Bayu Aviantoro, said PT Pindad will showcase one of Indonesia's defense equipments in October. People are encouraged to participate in the exhibitions of new products of PT Pindad. It was delivered Bayu Aviantoro to Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, September 20. He hoped that people know that Indonesian people are able to make their own sophisticated weapons. Bayu also hoped the government and people's support will continue to be inflamed. The international world are often interested to purchase the products of PT Pindad. We make a medium tank and we will show it. The public will be able to directly watch on October 5th, the anniversary of Military Day in Cilegon. It becomes a new product of our pride, which is in cooperation with Turkey. The Ministry of Defense purchased about 100 units of medium tanks from PT Pindad Persero to strengthen the national main equipment of weaponry system. The tank is in accordance with Indonesia's terrain, especially in Java and Sumatra. In addition to weaponry equipment, PT Pindad also made excavators and agricultural machinery for the pasture. Indonesia Trade Ministers Enggar Tiasto Lukita and Australian Trade, Tourism and Investment Minister Stephen Tiopo met in the Trade Ministry Office, Jakarta on Wednesday, September 20. During the meeting, the two ministers discussed the development of the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IACPA. Minister Enggar Tiasto hoped that the IACPA negotiations will be completed by the end of 2017 and implemented soon.
Kita mau menyepakati SEPA-nya.
We agreed that the SIPA is over this year. The meeting is very positive, so we agreed that SIPA agreement can be signed by the head of states of the two countries by the end of this year at the latest.
Akhir tahun ini, paling lambat.
The 9th IACPA negotiations is scheduled to take place in Bali, Indonesia on October 2nd to 6th, 2017. Previously, the 8th meeting was held on July 31st to August 4th, 2017. Some of the progress were made in 8th IACPA meetings, such as in the discussions of the agreement text and the discussions of market access in the field of trade, services, and investment. A 5.3 magnitude earthquake shocked North Madura this morning. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, said that the region has rarely been hit by earthquakes. BMKG Earthquake and Tsunami Early Warning Director Daryono said the epicenters of the earthquake was located in Sepulu Sub-District at 6.2 degree latitude south and 112.95 degrees longitude east. He said in a written statement received on Thursday, September 21st, the depth of the earthquake was 594 kilometers. The quake was caused by activities along Indo-Australia subduction zone into the Eurasian plate north of Madura. An analysis based on quake source mechanism shows that the quake was caused by normal flooding. BMKG's shake map indicates that weak tremors may be felt in Bangkalan, Gresik, Tuban, Surabaya, Sidoarjo, and Situbondo at the intensity 1 of the BMKG scale or 2 MMI. Daryono said that the quake did not have the potential to cause a tsunami. The last item. Keppel Land, the real estate arms of Singapore-based conglomerate Keppel Corp, signed a conditional sales and purchase agreement with Indonesia's Bank Central Asia or BCA to acquire a central business district area in Jakarta. According to company statement released recently, Keppel Land, the real estate arms of Singapore-based conglomerate Keppel Corp, signed a conditional sales and purchase agreement with Indonesia's Bank Central Asia or BCA to acquire a central business district area in Jakarta. According to a company statement released recently, Keppel acquired the land for 586 billion rupiah or approximately $60 million as part of the company's effort to expand its property assets in Indonesia. Through its local unit Sukses Manis Tangguh, Keppel acquired 7,700 square meters of land in the nation's capital with a gross floor area of around 36,000 square meters. Keppel's 1.6 trillion rupiah high-rise residential project located in the middle of what is popularly known as the Golden Triangle on Jalan Jenderal Sudirman features 400 units of luxury apartments. The property is located next to the International Financial Center building, which is also managed by Keppel. The project is close to a shopping center, restaurants, and an entertainment center. Listener, that was the news of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. Our commentary today entitled Global Progress Through Digital Economy. The world is now entering the era of digitalization. Inevitably, the overall change in various fields must follow the rapid development so as not to be out of date. One of them in the field of commerce is electronic commerce, with e-commerce in the form of distribution, purchase, sales, marketing of goods and services through electronic systems such as internet or television or other computer networks. There is a shift in trading from the offline world to online. The development of e-commerce makes purchasing or ordering of an item or service so instant and easy. In addition, the use of digital technology through social media tends to shift from consumptive patterns to the promotion of individual experiences. This is reflected when people use social media like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to share their experiences through the distribution of ideas, photos, and videos. Global progress through the digital economy has encouraged changes in lifestyle and economic patterns of a country. This was exposed by Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the opening of Indonesian Business and Development Expo, IBD Expo, at Jakarta Convention Center on Wednesday. The use of technology also encourages economic benefits with sharing systems promoted through internet applications. The use of smartphone and internet application also bring about impact on the promotion of consumption and production. Manufacturers should be more careful to see the pattern of this shift to where the direction is. The hotel industry is also chasing opportunities from the number of foreign tourists who visit Indonesia, especially Bali, through information technology. The digital transformation in the hotel industry is not an option anymore, but it is a necessity that can help the industry become competitive. The hotel industry can optimize the benefits of information technology in this digital age. The role of information technology in building digital strategies not only improves the quality of service and security for guests, but also can control operational costs. The banking sector is now moving toward digital banking, so Indonesia should be ready for this. The banks are required to develop their digital banking-based products and are expected to have digital branch banking. The government, through OJK, will create guidance for banks, especially for banks that have digital banking-based products. Chairman of Perbanas, Kartika Wijatmojo, said that digital banking will be the way to do business more effectively and efficiently for the solution of customers, because there are several benefits of digitalizing for banking. The penetration technology and social media are very rapid. This can be seen from smartphone users in Indonesia, which reach 33% of the total population. Of course, the digitalization era is a technological advancement that brings about a lot of benefits for the life of the world's community today and tomorrow. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back on Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, listener, we begin with an event which happened on September 21st, 1939, when Armand Călinescu died. Armand Călinescu was a Romanian economist and politician who served as the 39th Prime Minister from March 1939 until his assassination 6 months later. He entered parliament in 1926 as a member of Vision Party. after Palmer's party joined the Romanian National Party to form the National Palmer's Party. He held several positions such as the governor of Argeș province. Călinescu broke away from his party in agreement with the Iron Guard in 1937 and was issued while still serving as a Mendagri during the Octavian Guga. The Iron Guard leader was killed in jail when Călinescu was still a Mendagri. In March 1939, King Carol II appointed him Prime Minister but was killed by members of Iron Guard 6 months later. The next event was in 1964 when Malta gained its independence. Malta is a southern European island country consisting of an archipelago in the Mediterranean Sea. Malta's location in the middle of the Mediterranean has historically given it great strategic importance as a naval base and as a seat of powers. Under the Malta Independence Act passed by the British Parliament in 1964, Malta gained independence from the United Kingdom as an independent sovereign Commonwealth realm, officially known from 1964 to 1974 as the State of Malta, with Elizabeth II as its head of state. The country became a republic in 1974, and although no longer a Commonwealth realm, it remains a member state of Commonwealth of Nations. Malta was admitted to the United States in 1964 and to European Union in 2004. In 2008, it became part of Eurozone. And the last event was in 2013 when an attack on shopping center in Nairobi occurred. On 21st September 2013, an unidentified gunman attacked Westgate Shopping Mall, an upscale mall in Nairobi, Kenya. The attack resulted in at least 67 deaths and more than 175 people were reportedly wounded in the mass shooting. The extremist Islamic group Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the incident, which is characterized as a retribution for the Kenyan military's deployment in the group's home country of Somalia. Many media outlets also suspected the insurgent group's involvement in the attack on Linda Ninshi from 2011 to 2012. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus. The title of today's Focus is UGMT Held ASEAN Young Social Entrepreneur Competition. A total of 20 teams from 7 ASEAN countries competed in the ASEAN Young Social Entrepreneurs Program AYSPP 2017 held by the Faculty of Social and Political Science of Gajah Mada University, UGMT in Yogyakarta. The social entrepreneurship event is expected to be the solution of ASEAN social problems in the future. Secretary of the UGM's Faculty of Social and Political Science, Yan Agisti Dewi Rani, explained that the biannual competition since 2015 is targeting students of ASEAN countries. She said at the UGM Rector's Building on last Saturday that the ASEAN Young Social Entrepreneurs Program is a huge forum in social entrepreneurship and how to achieve the best result. This paradigm is important because it teaches the young to understand the opportunities and strengths of the middle-class population that shape the future of ASEAN. Agisti Dewi Rani also said that since the forum was opened last May, 400 teams from 7 ASEAN countries had been enlisted in this competition proposing social entrepreneurship. From the selection result, 20 teams are qualified for the final round to become 3 winners. The 3 winning teams will be part of UGM's Economic Incubation Program to realize and develop their proposals. Advisor to Strategy Issue for Foreign Affairs Ministry, Jauhari Oratmangun, as a speaker, said that the event is able to create new businesses that give advantages as well as solutions for community problems. He also said that the event is also a forum for unification of ASEAN youth. with 160 million youth for the next 10 years, ASEAN will be an area that will continue to grow and become the main market of world trade. By optimizing this demographic advantage, the effort to create social entrepreneurship becomes a solution to solve social problems. Jauhuri Oratmangun also added that the ASEAN Young Socialpreneurs Program aims to build a single market that unites economic activities to be more integrated. Meanwhile, Deputy Rector for Education, Teaching and Student Affairs of UGM, Jagal Wiseseno Marseno, hopes the younger generation can contribute in development in ASEAN. He said that they are expected to collaborate and create new ideas to mainly build ASEAN. The event was attended by Head of Matsushita Gobel, Jusman Safil Jamal, CEO of 84 Capital, Nicholas Chant, Young Entrepreneur of Maritime Technology from Singapore, Susi Lee, and Head of Business Sector of Yayasan Anak Bangsa, Herman Chandrai. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. Chairman of the Fatwa Commissions of Indonesian Ulama Council MUI of East Java Province, K. Haji Nur Rahman Nafi, said the New Year of Hijriah in 2017 is the momentum of unity for all people in Indonesia. Director of UNESCO Indonesia Sapes Khan, after diplomatic forum held by RRI World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday, said the international world keeps facing challenges in progressing and developing quality of life for poor people. Corporate Secretary of PT Pindad Bayu Afiantoro said PT Pindad will showcase one of Indonesia's defense equipment in October. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita and Australian Trade, Tourism and Investment Minister Stephen Siobo met in the Trade Ministry Office Jakarta on Wednesday, September 20. A 5.3 magnitude earthquake shook North Madura this morning. A meteorology, climatology and geophysics agency BMKG said that the region has rarely been hit by earthquake. Semarang residents feast on tumpeng or cone-shaped rice dish in celebrations of the first Muharram 1439 Hijri in a event called Kembul Bujana. The last item, Keppel Land, the real estate arm of Singapore-based conglomerate Keppel Corp, signed a conditional sales and purchase agreement with Indonesia's Bank Central Asia or BCA to acquire a central business district area in Jakarta. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dino Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesian Wonder, and Miss Eleni.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to various traditions to enliven the Islamic New Year. Stay tuned. listener, Hijriah is a Muslim New Year, and for the year 2017, the Hijriah New Year falls on September 21, 2017. The entry of Islamic teachings in Indonesia makes the tradition of Islamic New Year celebration, namely one of Muharram, is automatically formed into the local traditions. There are various local traditions that are held in various regions in Indonesia to enliven the Hijriah New Year. One of them is Kirab Kebobule in Solo. Listener, for the Javanese people, the first night of Suro in the Javanese calendar, precisely in Hijriah calendar, is the night of fully sacred. On that night, the crowds held various rituals. In Solo, Central Java, the servants and Santono Dalam, or relatives of Surakarta Kasunanan Palace, held the Kirab Kebobule tradition of Kiai Slamet Desa surrounding the city. Kirab Kebobule is a tradition performed by Kasunanan Surakarta Palace to welcome the coming of Suro, or the month of Muharram. Kebobule Kiai Slamet itself is not just a buffalo like in general. The ancestor of Kebobule was the Klangenan animal or beloved Paku Buwono II. Kirab is usually performed at midnight, beginning with praying and spreading cassava and sprinkling seven kinds of flour to welcome the arrival of Kebobule. The most interesting and unique of this tradition is when people fight each other, trying to touch the body of Kebobule and scramble to get the dirt. Perhaps the dirt can bring blessings. Listener, unlike the people in Solo, Bengkulu people held a Tebot festival to commemorate the Hijriah New Year. Tebot is a traditional ceremony of Bengkulu people to commemorate the story of heroism and the death of grandson of Prophet Muhammad, Hasan and Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib, in battle with the troops of Ubaidillah bin Zaid in Karbala Desert, Iraq, on Muharram 10, 61 Hijriah or 681 AD. The Tebot celebration in Bengkulu was firstly initiated by Sheikh Burhanuddin, or better known with the name Imam Senggolo, in 1685. Bengkulu people believe that if they do not conduct the Tebot celebration, the region will be stricken by disaster. Listener, Mubeng Beteng tradition is a tradition that is routinely held every night of one of Muharram, or the night of one Suro. The tradition surrounding the fort of Mubeng Beteng is held by Ngai Yogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace and followed by hundreds of people of Yogyakarta. The Mubeng Beteng ritual begins by reading a Macapat or a Javanese chant. The most interesting about the procession is that the people and the courtiers of the palace surrounding the fortresses of the palace by walking on foot and not talking or silent. The listener, you've just listened to various traditional ritual and ceremony to enliven the Islamic New Year 1439 Hijriah, and that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesian, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miss Lini. In today's edition, we will inform you about Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. Stay tuned. Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, situated in North Sumatra. This lake has been acknowledged as the deepest and biggest volcanic lake in the world and the second biggest lake after the Victoria Lake in Africa. Not only that, another uniqueness of Toba Lake is its location in Samosir Island of about 64,000 hectares wide in the middle of the lake. Toba Lake is a complete natural tourism destination, geopark, and water sport with its unique culture. This lake will continue to develop its potency. One of them is by stating the lake as the 10 priority tourism destination. Besides infrastructure will also be built. Several tourism promotion have also been held to boost tourism visit in the area. One of them is Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival. Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017 will be held in Baligay, Toba Samosir Regency, North Sumatra on September 9-10, 2017. The carnival is an annual agenda to strengthen Indonesian unity and bring it to the world. It is hoped that in 2019, Toba Lake can attract 1 million tourists. This event also targets to give domestic regional products revenue worth 16 trillion rupiah and to employ 300,000 people. This will increase people's welfare. This carnival will be participated in by 2,000 people. 500 of them are the core participants to have a ceremony of menjunjung tanduk. Tanduk is a plate filled with rice that is usually held on the Batak woman head. There is also a trumpet. The carnival also varies with boat parade in Toba Lake. The parade will cover 3.5 kilometers from Soposurung to Balerong. The carnival line will end in Balerong Traditional Market, a beautiful market consisting of 6 buildings decorated with Gorda Batak sculpture. Besides, tourists can also visit several tourism objects around Lake Toba. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the team Toba Lake Enchanted Carnival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Indonesian nostalgic pop songs from the famous Indonesian boy bands in the era of 1990s. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tataplah by Cool Colors. Happy listening. Thank you. Cool Colors is one of the most famous boy bands in the 1990s. The boy band consists of models of handsome men such as Teuku Ryan, Ari Sihasale, and Surya Saputra. Through the song Tataplah, the name of Cool Colors became popular among the music lovers. Moreover, The video clip of the song starring by Vijay MTV and also the famous model at that time, Nadia Hutagalung. The song, which was released in 1996, included in their debut album, Tataplah. This song tells about a man who sincerely loves a woman. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Katakanlah by Coboy, an Indonesia's famous boy band in the 1990s. Happy listening. That was the song Katakanlah sung by Coboy. Coboy was a boy band formed in 1991, which became famous since they released a single entitled Katakanlah. As the name implies, all members of Coboy or Cover Boy are male models for teen magazine covers. They consist of Ali Mustafa, Gilbert Patiruhu, Ferry, and Poncho Buono. The song tells the story of a man who wants his lover to say whatever she wants to say honestly. However, the man also convinces his lover that he has true love. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Inika Cinta. Happy listening. Just listen to the song entitled Inika Cinta by M.A. M.A. is an abbreviation of the Sundanese language Mbung Eleh, which means fighting always. The Boy Band, which was formed in 1997 with five personnel, namely Denny Sahaba, Didan Fitra Sakti, Irfan Mirza, Ferry Iskandar, and Widi Cipto Utomo. MA reached the peak of their career through the song Inikah Cinta, which was released in 1998. The song tells about a man who fell in love. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bintang Bulan Matahariku. The song will be dedicated by the WB Boy Band, which was formed in 1996. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Oh bintang, oh bulan, matahariku, terangilah cintaku, abadi selalu. Selamanya, walau hatiku selalu yakin akan cintamu, cintamu. Aku akan menjaga utuhnya cinta kita berdua.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Bila ku ingat senyum manismu, takkan habis waktu melamun. Bila ku ingat canda tawamu, takkan habis waktu berangan. Ingin ku miliki hari selamanya berdua denganmu selamanya.
Bukan hanya angannya
kelamaan. Bila ku ingat janji manismu, ku tunggu sampai waktu melamu.
Bila ku ingat canda tawamu, takkan habis waktu berangan.
Ingin ku miliki hari selamanya berdua denganmu selamanya. Habis waktu melamu.
Bila ku ingat canda tawamu, takkan habis waktu berangan.
Ingin ku miliki hari selamanya berdua denganmu selamanya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.